Well, good morning. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen? You know, whenever life gets frustrating, confusing, overwhelming, it's great to know that Sunday morning we can be in the house of the Lord and worship a God who cares about us, who loves us, and walks through our struggles with us. Last week I spoke about kindness. And one of the things that I wanted to mention that I forgot to was an application of kindness, a way that we could show kindness to others. And I wanted to mention this because you don't have much time left, and that's Operation Christmas Child. So many kids out there who won't hear about Jesus this Christmas. They won't hear about there's a God out there who loves them. And this is a great way that we here can to participate in that and to send a young child a gift who won't otherwise get one. So if you haven't yet picked one of these up, please grab one of these, fill it up. There's instructions on it. And then bring it back. Next week. So this is a great opportunity to show the love of God to others. So I wanted to mention that. And then also, after my sermon here this morning, we're going to do something we don't normally do, which is to take a request for one of our last two songs. So I was asked to announce that. So if you have a special favorite song we haven't sung in a while, get ready to get your hand up or yell it out quickly when that time comes. So, okay. So this morning we're going to be talking about a topic that I'm pretty sure has not been discussed in this church up until this point. And if anybody saw the sign out on the front, you'll probably know what I'm talking about. The sermon title this morning is, Are There Zombies Among Us? And that's really an odd thing to talk about in church. But zombies have become a part of our culture. And so I was thinking about this whole, looking at this zombie and what is this? And so let me ask you this. Who has seen a movie with a zombie in it before? Okay, so what movie is that, Michael? Just out of curiosity. Put those parental guidance a little bit stricter on Netflix. No, I'm just... Okay, so we kind of familiar with what a zombie is, but what are some characteristics of a zombie? I'm just going to give a few of them to you. First of all, they are dead, but physically moving. The people are dead, but they're animated in some way. So they're dead, but they're physically moving. Would you guys agree with that? Yeah. Some of them are physically moving because of a curse that's put on them. Some of them not. It kind of depends on the movie that you watch. But a lot of times there's a curse involved. So we're going to talk about that this morning. Pretty much all of them are dark or futile. They eat people's brains out or do other stuff that's just not really all that appealing. Not somebody you're going to invite over for dinner, probably, I would imagine. So they're dark or futile. And then the last thing we're going to talk about is they are ignorant. They're slow. They're not very smart. Usually pretty easily outrun, but there's usually so many of them that eventually you have to succumb. So those are the four aspects that we're going to look at this morning, but we're not talking about physical zombies, okay? This morning we're going to be talking about spiritual zombies. And so what is a spiritual zombie? We're going to look at those four aspects. First of all, it's one who is spiritually dead. One who is spiritually dead. Romans 5:12 says this, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." You see, God created the world perfect. We've been looking at that in Sunday school. Everything was perfect when God created the world. He looked at the world and he said, this is very good. Everything was perfect. But then man, Adam, and Eve, they sinned. And because of that sin, there was a spiritual death. They died spiritually. They were separated from God. And because they were separated from God, and they had each and every one of us, each and every one of us began our lives separated from God. And we are all sinners. We were all spiritually dead at one point, if we're not still today. So we are all spiritually dead. Secondly, we were all cursed. In Deuteronomy 27, 16, 17, and 26, it says this, cursed be anyone who dishonors his father and mother. And I don't think I need to raise hands, but I'm guessing we've probably all done that at one point or another. How about cursed is anyone who strikes down his neighbor in secret? Beat up somebody. Or hit somebody. We've all done that. If we haven't done it, we've wanted to. And here's the one that gets all of us. Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. Yeah, it's easy to say, yeah, I believe in the Bible. But then our actions often don't quite line up with those words. And so if we haven't taken what the Bible says and done it, we're cursed. We are cursed. And we'll get back to that in a minute. How about one who is dark or futile? Romans 1 talks about somebody who does not know Christ as their Savior, somebody who does not live according to what the Bible says. And here's how it describes them in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. And therefore God gave them up in their lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And for this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind. You see, a debased mind is one that is in, the dictionary says reduced in quality or in value. But the idea is perverted. Gave them over to a perverted mind because they wanted to do the things that God did not want them to do. Gave them over to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanders, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. And though they know God's righteous decree, those that practice such things deserve to die, and that they deserve to die. They not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. If you see in our culture today, you see this passage lived out over and over again. You see people who they claim to be wise, and they say, there is no God. There is no judgment. There is no afterlife. And we figured it out. You see, we figured it out. Nothing exploded, and boom, everything's here. We're so smart, we figured that out ourselves. And we know that that's pretty foolish. If our child came up to us handed us something and said it just appeared out of thin air. You say, where did you get that? And go put it back right now. Right? Because we know that things don't appear out of thin air. And, you know, I tried that story once. I had some candy that I was looking at the store, and I really wanted it really bad. And I knew my mom wouldn't probably buy it before me. And so I said, you know, I think I'll just take it. And I put it in my pocket. And my mom asked me, where'd that come from? I said, I don't know. It was just there. And she said, go put it back right now. That was pretty embarrassing. But anyway, claiming to be wise, they became fools. And their foolish hearts were darkened. You see, people know that God exists and that they know that there is a God that has laid down a standard of conduct, what is right and what is wrong. But we don't want to do that. We don't want to follow that standard of conduct. And so they've suppressed the truth. And they said, no, we don't want to live according to God's standard, so we'll make up a new story about how this world got here. And we'll wipe away all that. And their minds have become dark and futile. And because there is no God in their mind, they are now free to live and do as they please. So they think. And we see in our world a lot of pain and a lot of suffering because people are involved in things that they should not be doing. And that list there is just a small part of it. Envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossiping, hating God. We've all seen that in our life, people who have done that. And it doesn't get them ahead, it gets them way behind. The next thing we want to look at about a spiritual zombie is they're ignorant. What are they ignorant of? Well, if we look back a little bit in that same passage, Romans chapter 1, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them." What can be known about God through creation is very plain. First of all, is that there had to be something greater than what is there to put it there, right? You don't go out into the woods and see a cabin and say, that is amazing. Look at how all of these trees just fell over and fell over this way and then fell over this way. And then just the weather, maybe some lightning storms came through and fused them together. And then, you know, light, you know, somebody put a light bulb in there and it just, I mean, it is just amazing how over millions and millions of years this thing just poof and there it was. No, we say, wow, somebody built a cabin out here. That's very nice. We know that whoever built that is smarter than the cabin because it takes something greater than the cabin to build the cabin. That's just elementary. And so that is what can be known of God, for one, is that he is greater than his creation, outside the creation, and that he's eternally. In order for time to be created, there has to be something outside of time. So continuing in verse 20, "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made so that they are without excuse." For this reason, hold on a second. 2 Peter 3 talks about some more things that spiritual zombies, which we used to be, are ignorant of. He says, "You should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. And they will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago and that the earth was formed out of water and through water by the Word of God. Many people do not accept that the earth was created by the Word of God. Many Christians today do not accept that the earth was created by the Word of God. They say something like theistic evolution created the world. God started something and then he walked away. That's not the God of the Bible. 2 Peter says that the Word of God created the world. And then in verse 6 he says, and by means of these that the world then existed was deluged with water and perished. By the same word, God flooded the entire earth and destroyed it because of the sins of men. In verse 7, and by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. You see, there's people out there that have a different view, because not because they're smarter than God, not because they're smarter than this book, it's because they've suppressed the truth that they know. And they've exchanged it for a lie. And now they're worshiping and serving the creation rather than the Creator. They've said, no, there was no flood. This world has existed the way it is forever, for long times, billions and billions of years ago. Why? Because if there was a flood, there's a judgment. And if there was a judgment that covered this earth and destroyed it, there is a judgment that is yet to come today. And I don't want to be held accountable for my actions. So I am going to suppress that truth, and I'm going to accept a lie so that I can continue to do these wrong things that I know are wrong, but I'll accept a lie so I can continue to do them, so I can justify my ungodliness. And it appears they're getting away with it. We look in our world today, and evil men are being escalated into high positions of authority. And they're doing things that are wrong, and we see it every day. And we say, how do they get away with that? Don't think for one second that God has forgotten about us. And don't think for one second that God is not paying attention, because he is. And a day of judgment is coming. Romans 2:5 says, but because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. We are storing up wrath by our ungodliness, and God will judge every single one for their actions. Now, this is where the whole zombie thing ends, okay? Because zombies at the end, honestly, I've never seen a zombie movie, so I don't really have a whole lot of credibility to talk on the matter. But whatever happens at the end is sometimes they kill everybody, sometimes the curse is lifted and a few people live or whatever. But the reality is this. We have an opportunity that zombies don't. And that is that we have an opportunity to have the curse lifted. We are under a curse for our sin. And that curse is to spend eternity in hell. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 through 14 said, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, which is us. So that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. This is where reality is different than folklore, because we can be cured and avoid judgment. And we do that through faith in Jesus Christ. We can have a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Many of you guys know this verse very well. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. In Revelation 21, Jesus says, and he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and they are true. And Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, we have an opportunity to let Jesus take the penalty for our sin, to let Jesus take the curse for us. He died so that we would not have to spend eternity as futile, ignorant, dead in our sin. But he wants us to be alive in Christ. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to have a communion with us. But there's a decision that we have to make, a choice. Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 18 says this. See, I have set before you today life and good and death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, declare to you today that you shall surely perish. I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You see, God has given us an opportunity to turn over our spiritual bodies that are dead, ignorant, and resemble a zombie that you see on TV today, and has said, I'll take that from you and give you a new life. I'll take your sin and put my righteousness upon you if you will come and be my disciple, if you will come and follow me and do the things that I have commanded you. But we have a choice to make, because sin is very appealing. It looks very fun, and for a while it is. And then it comes and it matures and it brings forth death. And we've all experienced that. In the final stages, sin isn't near as fun as it started out to be. Joshua 24:15 says this, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You must make a choice this morning. You must make a choice. Are you going to serve God, or are you going to serve your fleshly desires and serve Satan? Those are the two choices, and there's nothing else. That is the only choice you have in life. There is nothing else. To serve God or to serve your flesh. And I pray and hope that you will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Dear gracious Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you that you have died to give us grace. You sacrificed. You became our sacrifice so that we could exchange this dirty, nasty flesh for a glorious heavenly body. And Lord, that we could live forever with you and receive the blessings of your goodness day after day after day. Lord, we see others around us And oftentimes we get intimidated by them. We don't realize that in reality, they're just a spiritual zombie. Sometimes we can get intimidated by somebody who is going to hell. But we need to be strong and courageous, Lord, and share the good news that you have proclaimed in your word to a lost and dying world. Lord, I pray that we would be those people that would give the light and hope that this world needs. I pray these things in Jesus' name.
Okay, does anybody have a hymn that they would like for us to sing?